Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Mets Musings and Hot Off the Presses. Pete Alonso is hurt. If you remember the other night, he got hit by a pitch ball in left wrist. He is more than likely going on the IL. It is trending, according to reports, towards the IL, but sources say he's definitely going. He'll be on the IL, probably miss a few weeks. The doctors are still determining whether or not he has a fracture in the left wrist. Now, the original negative x-rays came back negative, but they sent him for a scan, sent him back to New York to get scanned, and we're not sure. There's no official announcements. As I said, reports and sources say that they are, the doctors are looking to see whether or not there is a fracture. There may be a hairline fracture in there. We don't know as of yet, but that's what they're looking for. So it does look like Pete Alonso is heading to the IL. What does that mean to a team? Well, of course, he's their big power hitter. And this is a team that just dropped two series in a row. They have lost six in a row, swept by the Blue Jays and the Atlanta Braves, and have not been playing good baseball. Though they did give the Braves a tough time. I mean, last night's game was 13-10, but it exposes all their weaknesses. Their starting pitching can go no longer than five innings tops. The bullpen is a shambles and just can't seem to get anybody out at this point. And the offense, though they hit the last night, they still rely a lot on the home run. And, you know, that's not always a good thing. If the power dries up, there's no way of scoring, and they have to get better at scoring without power, building runs, stealing bases, bunting, runners over, taking the extra base, things along that nature. Small ball, in other words, is what they have to do. But this is the news, the top news today coming out right this second. Is that the Pete Alonso situation. Now, it wasn't totally uncalled for. Charlie Morton, who hit him, the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, went over to apologize, but Alonso had mouthed off at the pitcher on Monday night after he hit the home run. And I guess the Braves didn't like it, and they retaliated on the next day. You know, the Mets are in no position right now to be mouthing off to anybody the way they've been playing. You don't lose six in a row and go mouthing off to people. So maybe this will be a lesson to keep your mouth shut until you're in first place or you're winning more. This is a 500 team. They're three games under 500 right now after the sweep, and they go to play a much improved Pittsburgh team at home. And Pittsburgh's fighting for that division lead, and they're very close, as well as a wild card. So the Mets have it, you know, they have their schedule is not easy, and their job is not easy. They've got a tough road to hoe here. And, you know, taking a look at the schedule, they're playing three against Pittsburgh, come home and play two against the Yankees. Then they have a three-game series at home against the struggling St. Louis Cardinals, but the Cardinals are always a good team. Then they've got the Houston Astros, who are always good. And then Philadelphia and four games with Milwaukee, who's leading the division. So it is not an easy month of June. and they have to keep their head above water. They have to end this month somewhere along the 500 mark, and gonna have to hope for a very strong second half of the season. They will be getting back, hopefully, Jose Quintana in sometime in July, early July. Maybe Alonso will be back then, and they'll go from there. They'll see, you know, what happens. But this is a team that's struggling big time right now and did not need another injury. But there it is. Pete Alonso hit on the left wrist the other day. Could be a hairline fracture, could be a fracture. But it looks like he is heading towards the injured list. And the Mets activated catcher Omar Narvaez the other day and designated Tomas Nieto for assignment. They'll go with a catching tandem of Narvaez and Francisco Alvarez, who, by the way, hit two homers last night. He's starting to come around. And with the injury to Pete Alonso, this opens up a slot. If they're smart, the Mets will play Mark Vientos at first base to see what he can do. This is his audition now. This is his shot. He's been sitting on the bench a lot and struggling. He did play last night, started in place of Alonso, didn't have a good night. But he's out of a groove now. I mean, he came up red hot, and first game hit a home run, got another hit, and then he sat down. He's been up for 19 games, I believe. He's only seen action in 12, and some of those were pinch hitting. So, it's tough on a kid that's been playing every day to get called up and then sit on the bench. So they have to get him in there. This is his chance. He's going to have to bear down, and hopefully he can come up with some more action than he has been in the past. Other Met news, and the Mets outrighted Jimmy Yacobanis to AAA Syracuse and optioned Vinny Natoli to Syracuse after they traded for him. So that's and the rumor is, the sources are saying that Luis Guillermo will be brought up to take Alonso's place on the roster. Now, one other area where the Mets are extremely weak, of course, is at the DH position. And, you know, Daniel Vogelbach has been getting a lot of the time there and has not produced, and it's time for him to go. It's time for the Mets to DFA him to make room on the roster and either let somebody else go in there, let Escobar be your DH, or even Alonso when he comes back, and say goodbye to Vogelbach. Let's think about it. If he's not hitting for power or hitting in general, he's really a luxury on this team that they can't afford right now. He doesn't play a position. He's supposedly a first baseman, yet we've never seen him play there. So he doesn't play first, you know. He doesn't play a position. He doesn't have speed. He can't run. So he's here for one reason, to hit, and he's not doing that. So he's a luxury item. I don't know what the luxury would be, but we can't keep him right now. So it's time for him to go. DFA him. They did it to Nieto. I mean, Nieto's a better ball player. At least he's defensively a better ball player than Vogelbach is. And it's time for Vogelbach to go. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates that the Mets are going to be playing starting this evening. We'll be back right after this.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and BaseballTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that Baseball PhD can be heard on BaseballTalkRadio.com?
Our shows rotate with other top baseball podcasts.
Now don't forget, that's BaseballTalkRadio.com.
With us, we'll help you get a PhD in life through baseball.
With BaseballTalkRadio.com, you'll hear the rest of the excellent universe of baseball podcasts.
Hello, baseball fans. You're listening to Baseball Talk Radio, the home of great baseball talk shows. At BaseballTalkRadio.com, you're going to find great shows like this one with the great Gary Mack and the Mets Musings podcast. And now back to the show.
Okay, and we are back, and we're taking a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. How are the Pittsburgh Pirates doing this so far this season? They've been, had so many losing years lately, and this year they're in the middle of a pennant race. So far, and how are the Pirates doing it? They are at the one of the things that they do so well is their pitching staff is leaning on the soft stuff. They throw a lot of off-speed pitches. They are at the forefront of the anti-fastball philosophy. Pirates are throwing fewer fastballs and more breaking balls each passing year, and it's working so far. They have an average of 87.8 average exit velocity allowed, fourth lowest in baseball, and comfortably below the 89 mile per hour major league average. Pitching staff is not easy to square up on, and the Mets have a problem sometimes with breaking stuff, especially the young guys. So it will be interesting to see what they do. The Pirates also platoon a lot. They have essentially four everyday players: Ke'Bryan Hayes at third base, Andrew McCutchen back with the Pirates at he primarily the designated hitter, Brian Reynolds at center, Carlos Santana at first, and it's a combination of young players and veteran mentors are in the lineup every day. Shortstop O'Neill Cruz was in this group, but he is injured, so could be out for the season. That's going to hurt their lineup. But the rest of the lineup is largely platoon options. Jack Suwinski hits right-handers very well. Connor Joe has historically done his best work against lefties. Switch hitter Rodolfo Castro has hit lefties very well. And thanks to their mixing and matching, not to mention that they have three switch hitters in the lineup, the Pirates hitters are a platoon advantage more often than not. So they mix and match very well with a lot of other clubs. And they do the little things. They bunt. They run the bases well, and they've also improved their team defense. The big question for the Pittsburgh Pirates are, can their pitching staff and their offense hold up over the course of a season? That is the question. Of course, that is the question the Mets are facing with their starting rotation and their bullpen. Everybody's got the same question. Everybody wants bullpen help. There's 30 teams looking for bullpen help. So, you know, it makes it tough, but there'll be some team out there like the Kansas City Royals willing to start trading some of their bullpen help. They have already suggested that Aroldis Chapman. So we're going to see an interesting trade deadline with all of these teams. And don't forget, with the extra wild card now, these teams, a lot more teams are going to be viable and be buying than they would be selling at such a date. But as far as the Pirates go, we'll have to see if they can hold up the whole season. Some of their young players now have had got a few years under their belt. This will be the first time they're in a pennant race. And so it'll be interesting to see how they hold up over the course of the main season. Okay. that's a little scouting report on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's take a quick break, and I'll be back right after this. Base streak snapped at 20 games this week, going 7 for 29 with one home run and one double. Struck out 8 times and did not draw a walk in his last series. He sustained an ankle injury during Sunday's game after a collision at second base. And although he was pulled out of the game, it's not a serious injury. He made his return the other night. Jonathan Arios had an impressive week, going 5 for 21 with 2 triples, 1 home run, 7 RBI, 5 runs scored. He also drew 7 walks, including 2 different 3-walk games. Joey Lucchese had his first tough game of the season at AAA, allowing 5 runs in 4 innings. I'm sorry, 5 runs in 5 innings for first loss of the campaign. His ERA is at 2.76 through 6 starts. Jose Buto allowed 3 runs on 7 hits in 5 2/3 innings during his 1 appearance last week, striking out 6, issuing 3 walks. David Peterson had a slightly longer start, but a very similar stat line, allowing 3 runs and 6 hits across 6 2/3 innings. Josh Walker pitched 2 scoreless innings across 2 appearances, lowering his ERA to 1.53. The Rumble Ponies, Luke Ritter, stole the show last week, going 7 for 23 with a pair of 2 homer games. Mac Rudick continues to be dependable at the top of the lineup, going 7 for 20 and recording a hit in all 5 games he played in. Mike Vassell returned from a back injury on Sunday of last week after an 11-game absence, allowing just 1 run on 1 hit across 5 innings, striking out 6 batters. He was named the Eastern League Player of the Month for May. Last Monday, he had posted a 2.52 ERA across 4 starts. His 0.72 whip is the second best mark among all qualified minor league pitchers. And let's take a look at the Cyclones. Alex Ramirez started the week with just one hit in his first 15 at-bats, but he turned it around with a three-hit performance on Sunday, including his fourth homer and ninth double of the season. Kevin Parada went 8-for-31. He started off ice cold, if you remember, but has been heating up lately in May and June. So had a couple of homers, and that's a good sign that Parada is starting to come around with the bat, and we'll see more from this young man. Blade Tidwell allowed just one unearned run in 6 1/3 innings across two starts this past week, allowing two hits and striking out 8, but also issuing 7 walks. Command continues to be the biggest issue for Tidwell, whose ERA sits at 4.93 after 9 starts. Tyler Stewart allowed 2 runs on 7 hits in 5 innings of work in his 1 start, striking out 4. His 1.43 ERA still comfortably leads the Mets minor league starting pitchers. And in St. Lucie, Jet Williams went 4-for-20 with 1 home run, 3 RBI, and 7 runs scored. He drew 5 walks, was 5-of-6 on stolen attempts across 6 games, including a 3-walk, 3-steal game on Saturday. And he was another one that started off very slow, but is starting to come around. Lionel Ovalles was sensational in his start on last Friday, allowing just 2 hits across 6 innings, striking out a career-high 10 batters. So that is the take on the minor leagues. I don't have the standings in front of me, and so we'll get back to them next week. Suffice it to say, there wasn't a lot of change in the standings for the minor league teams for the Mets. So that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. And again, the big news is Pete Alonso hurt. Looks like he's going to go on the IL, more than likely. Mark Vientos, this is your choice. This is your chance, I should say. This is your tryout, if you will. Let's hope he can make the best of it. It could be an interesting situation. If he hits, plays a decent first base, Alonso could become your DH, and I'm sure that if they extended his contract, he'd be more open to being the DH than he would playing first base. Right now, he wants to prove that he's worthy of a big contract by being a two-way player, even though he probably will end up as a DH only. But Vientos has got to prove himself. Somebody's got to take away, or at least make an effort at taking away that first base job. If we could get Vientos bat in and have him play first base, he looked pretty good last night, made a couple of nice plays. So, you know, I think he's got it in him. We'll have to see. Let's hope the Mets have the wisdom to play him in these games and not sit him down for Mark Canhar or something like that. They know what he can do. This team's struggling right now. Let's see what the kid can do and go from there. All right, I want to thank you for tuning in and watching or listening to this podcast. And I hope that you will hit the like button and subscribe on YouTube if you're watching this podcast. If you're listening to the audio version on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Spotify, please hit the subscribe button. That way you'll always know when a new edition of the show is coming out. Until next time, it's difficult. We say this all the time, but it is difficult. But try to keep the faith. Stay optimistic, and let's go Mets. And I'm Gary Mack, and I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.